Welcome to Thursday, everybody. We got special guest host Todd Caputo. You know who he is. We're talking about Lithia buying stores in the UK, an EV charging, home charging survey reports, and Kia's new EV9. Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I am. It's always something going on. Always something going on. Todd, good morning. How are you today?
Breaking news. It's always breaking news.
It is. It's not quite.
What's on your phone today for breaking news?
Yeah, I know. That is not the healthiest way to be, especially when it's like breaking news. Yeah, there's right. A big wave in one place that a surfer rode. Right. The Weather Channel's the worst.
In, right?
I know. Yeah, well, if you can't. If you're just listening, Todd Caputo, he's got a little bit of an echo because he is sitting in his, I don't even know what to call it, but he's got this amazing property and building where it's like, I feel like this is like the car dealer's dream. You have garage space for how many cars about?
I can fit like 19 cars.
So he's got 19 cars, right? Big high bay doors, tall ceilings. And then to the right of it, there's like a 3-bedroom apartment. And above the 3-bedroom apartment, there's just this, I don't know what to call it. It's like an office. You got like a bunch of pinball machines. What's it called?
It's called the Fortress of Solitude.
The Fortress of Solitude.
Remember Superman had like, I'm not Superman by any means, right? But remember Superman had the Fortress of
Solitude. The Fortress of Solitude is exactly what it is.
Where to be alone. This place keeps me married, actually. So this is actually good. It's good space for us. Me and my wife.
It is. I bet Amy loves the Fortress of Solitude as well.
She loves it when I go there.
That's what I'm saying. It's so cool that I think we're going to do a show in there and get it all set up. And so the Soto community, we're going to show you the ins and outs of the Fortress of Solitude, do a little Todd Caputo's garage episode.
But I will try to sell everybody that is watching all these cars. So I'm going to buy one for sure.
That's like the lifelong plot of every dealer, right? If you're awake, you're trading a car somehow. You're buying or selling a car. We have a lot of cool things going on in the Asotoverse. We just opened up ticket sales for our event in Arlington, which Todd will actually be at. We're going to talk a lot of used cars. Have a number of guests we're going to announce very soon. It's in Arlington, Texas. On April 5th, and everyone in the store is invited. We've intentionally put it in the evening so that folks that can't usually get out or you're in the busyness of the day. So we want managers and GMs and service advisors and those who you need to get a little more inspired and in line with what's going on in the industry. We're making an event just for you. You can get tickets by going to Asotux.com, and we're putting on the whole event, live show. We're bringing a live band. It really is going to be something special, a lot like our year-end extravaganza.
That's going to be awesome. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Like, you know, if I still had stores, I'd be doing a spiff with my salespeople, with my technicians, with my writers, with everybody, some kind of spiff so they can actually go to that event.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's going to be awesome.
That's a great
idea.
Like a good
spiff or spiffs. It'd be awesome.
Because you know if they show up to that and meet other people that are inspired about the industry you're in, you know they're going to bring that energy back to the store. You just know it.
And they're hustlers. And they're hustlers too, right? Like we want the hustlers there.
Right. Exactly. Well, speaking of hustlers.
Stop. Segway.
Time.
All right. So this story just came out yesterday. Lithia Motors has become the third public auto retail company with holdings in the United Kingdom, joining Penske and Group One. So they recently announced the purchase of Jardine Motor Group, which includes 40 new vehicle franchise points in the UK, including luxury brands, including Aston Martin, Porsche, BMW, Ferrari, according to Lithia CEO Brian DeBoer. So Britain's Sky News said the cost of the deal was somewhere between 361 and 482 million. I mean, they gave it in pounds, but we did the conversion. And it'll add about $2 billion in annual revenue to Lithia, who in 2022 has already jumped 24% in annual revenue. So during an interview, Brian DeBoer called the deal more affordable than what we typically find in the United States. And he continued on saying, more importantly, it gives us a foundation to grow more in the United Kingdom, which helps us drive toward our $50 billion revenue goal in 2025, which is only 2 years away. The CEO of Jardine, Neil Williamson, will stay in place and lead the 2,700 employees that come with the acquisition. Todd, you know, we hear a lot in the UK about aggressive change to the agency model and how, you know, changes to the dealer model there are happening faster than in the US. What is your thought behind like a US company going in and just really getting into the game pretty heavy?
Well, the first word that comes to my head is diversification, right? Like these large publics are really diversifying the industries and really the places of doing business. I mean, you know, didn't Lithia just get in the RV business a few months ago?
Yeah.
Positive. And then, you know, Sonic has gotten into motorcycles, power sports. So I think you're seeing some more diversification, not just with the kind of things that these large groups are going to sell, but also geographically. And then when you talk about the agency model overseas, it's obvious who the OEMs want to have franchises going forward are very well capitalized, sophisticated operators that can probably process the agency model. And I think you're going to continue to see, especially overseas, because they don't have franchise laws like we have, just less and less of, let's call them mom and pop dealers. I think they're going to be gone, especially overseas.
Understood. I mean, if we learned anything from Brian DeBoer and Lithia over the last few months, for me personally, it was when he was at the Auto Team America event and he sat with Alan Hagen. We just saw the revenue growth of Lithia and what a dollar invested in Lithia did versus a dollar invested in companies like Apple and Google. And it crushed them like tens and dozens of times more return. And they're, you know, so I think they've shown that they know how to make smart acquisitions. They know how to turn it into profitability. And, you know, it's no one wants to bet against Lithia. That's for sure. So it'll be interesting to see how this pulls, how it pulls more attention maybe to the European market. And, you know, whenever this happens, you know, we actually had a recruiter just weighing in the comments saying it's an exciting thing. I'm also, you know, I know some folks over at Group One, and there is a synergy that happens when you have this straight line of communication between Europe and the US, because diversity of thought and diversity of systems actually helps make all the systems better. Speaking of making the systems better. Stop.
Segway. Time.
We're going to move over into the area of home charging, and customer satisfaction with EV home charging solutions has actually taken a shock as the JD Power 2023 electric vehicle experience study indicates a noticeable decline due to a combination of slow charging speeds, rising electricity rates, and lack of consumer education on charging programs and platforms. So basically, they're saying satisfactions measure across 8 factors, and that's fairness of the price of the unit, cord length, size of the charger, the ease of storing the cable, the cost of charging your vehicle, how fast it charges, and how easy it is to use. And when thinking about costs, like the cost to charge your car at home versus what was expected, the index satisfaction rate actually dropped 30 points. New EV owners were the primary reason for that, which is really saying that customers that bought an EV in 2022 and 2023 had a much higher expectation of like money they would save by having an EV charger at home. Only 51% of the people who were surveyed were even aware of any special charging programs that would help with the cost of the charger or the cost of the electricity. Tesla owners ranked the experience the highest. And here's a quote from JD Power, and I'd love to get your thought on this because you have an EV charger and EVs. So this is from Brent Gruber, executive director of EV practice at JD Power, said, whether you're an automaker, a dealer, or a utility company participating in the EV ecosystem, improving the EV ownership experience with respect to home charging is a common goal that we should all share. So Todd, you own several EVs. You have an EV charger, actually not too far from where you're sitting right now. There is an EV charger. And so what are your thoughts on like what people are actually experiencing at home with the EV charging based on what they thought it would be?
So if you talk about the cost, I think it depends on where you live. I mean, where I am in North Carolina, I'm pretty close to Duke Energy. I got a new plant not far away. So electricity for me is extremely reasonable and the math works for me, but it doesn't work for a lot of other people. You know, I think that education when it comes to EVs is really the most important thing. Right now, it's just a lot of hype, but there really needs to be education. And I think that the automaker or the dealer that really educates people to know what the true expectations are going to give their customers really what they need to know, so they don't have this preconceived notion that an EV is going to save the planet, because I don't truly believe that it saves the planet, number one, because that's a whole other long conversation. But yeah, number two, that it really just saves you like a ton of money. It doesn't. You know, I think if the price of fuel goes up and if gas prices go up, it might make a difference. But right now, you know, gas is about a buck cheaper than it was a year ago when everybody was scrambling to get an EV, because gas was, you know, $5-6 a gallon in some parts of the country. And I think it actually, too, is it depends on where you are in the country and the price of gasoline also. Yep. You know, I was in Reno, Nevada a couple months ago at a dealer, and gas is still really expensive, especially out west. So
I bet electric is probably pretty expensive out there, too, though.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'd like to see that chart, but also look at the electricity rates in the areas where people are actually surveyed, along with the price of gas. I think that probably would be better. But, I mean, having the charger right in your garage is extremely, extremely convenient. You don't have to go to the gas station, especially if the weather's lousy, like it is in upstate New York right now, since you just got 2 feet of snow.
Sure is.
Thank God I'm not there anymore, right? So no more brooming cars for me. But, you know, like being able to just plug it in your garage is super helpful. And, you know, I just got an Airbnb. I bought an Airbnb as an investment, and I put a Tesla charger that not only charges Teslas, but has an adapter on the end for other EVs as well.
Yep.
Because of the fact that when I rent to people that are going to have EVs, and I know more and more people are going to have them, I thought it was good to actually put one of those chargers in the house. And it was $400 for the charger. Plus I had to pay an electrician another $250 to install it. So, I mean, that's reasonable.
That's very
reasonable.
There's
ROI there because that's reasonable to get it done. So those chargers aren't overly expensive, but you know, no one's going to be able to control the rates of what it costs for electricity or for gas. So,
well, just tell me this, how much would you estimate it? So like, you have a Model S Plaid, right?
Yeah.
How much do you think it costs to get that to full charge? Estimate.
Well, it depends on how often I drive it, right?
No, but I mean, like, what do you think it would cost? Just a ballpark estimate in electricity.
A couple hundred a month.
To fill it up. One fill.
Oh, just one fill?
Yeah.
Oh, one. So, $30.
Okay, $30. And what's that range get you?
347 miles.
Okay, and if it's empty,
depending on how fast I drive or slow I drive, so that's another factor too.
Okay, of course. And well, the Plaid model is meant so that you hammer the gas pedal and go from 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds, just because you can.
Yeah, you were in that car.
So I was just because you can. And how long does that take on so home chargers are level 2 chargers? How long does it take to get fully charged if it's empty on that level 2?
If it's completely empty, that would take about between 6 and 7 hours if it was totally empty. But the thing is, it never is.
Right.
Like, I don't ever pull in the garage when it's completely empty. If anything, I stop and I supercharge somewhere. Yep. And supercharging, at least down here, is still very reasonable.
Yep.
And I've traveled quite a bit with that Tesla. If you go to Tesla supercharger, the price is not crazy at all.
Right, because they kind of subsidize the price of the electricity or make it reasonable and don't mark it up and everything like that. So, I mean, this will be a conversation. Like you said, education is critical. And I think dealers just have the upper hand in EV education if they realize it and take it, because consumers expect the dealer to know the things that have to do with the car. And I think just any dealer in any market has the opportunity to be the authority in home charging and creative content and being the place where people answer questions. I mean, a lot of these dealers now have like chargers out front. I was at a Nissan dealer earlier this week, and it's the charger doesn't cost anything. So people of all, like driving all different types of OEMs and Teslas included, are showing up at that dealership to take advantage of the charging. So again, like, this is an opportunity, I think, where dealers can be attractional and give people a reason to come in and coach them up and give them great vendor recommendations on charger installs. And like, I think a big part of the charging experience is based on what the expectation is and how that's set in the beginning. And when the expectation is not established, then people are going to be disappointed, you know?
Well, you know, the other thing to think of too is for dealers, right, which I used to be one of them, it's a significant investment to be in the EV business going forward. I just was in St. Augustine at a friend's dealership group. He hired me to help him with a few things, and he's building a brand new Hyundai store. And he showed me where all the charging stations are going to be. And then he had to build something separate far away from the building where he's got to keep the batteries if the batteries come out of these cars. I mean, it's expensive to be in the EV business with really not a great return. He told me about the markup that he's going to have, and really it's going to be markup EVs itself. And also, when it comes to fixed ops, there's really not a lot of money to be made on those cars. So, I mean, that's an investment, really, to be able to sell those cars, get trades, get F&I. But as far as a return on investment goes, I think it's a very, very, very long payback, in my opinion, anyways.
Well, speaking of EVs, we have one more to talk about. Stop! We're just going to do stop, not the whole segue. So, after weeks of teased photos, we finally got a first look at the first EV in the 3-row segment, with the flagship Kia EV9 that features a super aggressive design. I personally love it. I love boxy vehicles. It has 3 rows of seating, cargo space, and get this, the middle row of seats actually swivel 180 degrees. So this is built on Hyundai Motors 800-volt EGMP platform, and the release says the vehicle features technology for life with a philosophy that promotes intuitive action interactions between humans and machines. The performance details are coming out next month as far as range and capacity and speed. And the vehicle actually came out very, very close to the concept that was presented last year. And they have, you know, a lot of great EV features that people have come to expect, like large touch screens and charging points throughout. But I got to tell you, 180 degree swivel middle seats where you can face the back seat or put the seats down in the back and look out the rear window. I mean, brings me right back to the 80s.
I totally agree.
Did you have, did you have a backwards facing rear seat?
No, but I had conversion vans in the past where the seats did that. Right. So yeah. you got quite a few kids. They're going to be turning around and fighting with each other. Cause I know you're going to buy one of those things.
That's the first one that really got me excited.
Yeah, it looks like a QX. It looks like an Infiniti QX, I think.
It looks like a QX met like a Kia Soul and like made it bigger. It's really neat. So
I think it's kind of odd though that they didn't. What's the range? Like that's coming next month.
Performance details are coming next month, right? Because like if it's not 250 miles, isn't going to cut it in a family vehicle.
No, not only that, can you tow with it? How's it going to be in the snow?
Yep.
I mean, a big SUV like that is not a daily commuter driver, I think, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That's a let's take a trip to the mountains kind of a vehicle.
I wonder how big it is because to me it looks like about the size of a Telluride when I look at it.
And here's the thing too, one
of the things for me, I'm like, could I have an SUV to be my family vehicle? Because we have, you know, four kids, and when we're traveling, we're having luggage and we pull a boat sometimes. And so I was thinking about that. And one of the things that actually made me think, if it can pull something, right, there's plenty of seating and not a lot of room behind the rear seats, which is usually a problem if it's not a big SUV, especially for me, we're going somewhere, even if it's like we're going to the airport and we have six suitcases, right? But the frunk actually changes the whole dynamic of a smaller car because all that space is available.
That will help, but you know, I didn't see a roof rack on that photo, right? Like that vehicle is going to need a roof rack.
Yep.
Because if there's no room behind the back seat, which I'm guessing looking at it, there probably isn't much space.
Yep.
You're going to need a roof rack if you got a family, and then how much drag are you going to get going down the road, and how much is that going to affect the performance?
Oh,
the range?
That's an interesting
roof rack on the top with a Thule on the top of it too. Like that's going to give you drag a lot. I mean, that affects miles per gallon. It's going to affect range when it comes to an EV. So
yeah,
I don't know. It remains to be seen, but I think it's pretty cool looking. That's for sure.
Andrew Boyer just chimed in on the live stream and says it's slightly larger than a Telluride. As far as what people are saying about it. So that answers that question. But without a doubt, like that segment there's a big void in the EV segment when it comes to an SUV with a third row. And Kia is going to, you know, say, hey, this is going to be our flagship entry. I mean, you look at the success of what they did with the Telluride and how they just nailed it with that vehicle. I owned one for 3 years and I loved it. So Kia giving everybody a reason to look in. And I think it's just indicative of the way things are heating up in the EV space. And there's just going to be a lot of options to consider.
Well, from a dealer perspective, what are they going to allow a dealer to make on that truck? That's
right. How are they going to sell
because
it?
I got educated about some of the markups in some of these EVs when I visited my buddy in St. Augustine. With his Hyundai store, and he was telling me about that. There's no markup there, right? That's just, you got to be able to make money selling these cars as a dealer.
Right.
Hopefully there's some markup there. No, you know, the service isn't coming either. So we'll see. That remains to be seen, of course.
We will. Well, it's a busy Thursday around the industry. Todd Caputo, thank you so much for joining us as a guest host. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of fun to have, and we have a lot of people to serve today. So go out there and serve somebody.